back, guys. Sorry we've been away for a while. We're going to do, obviously, a podcast now, but also a post-finals podcast to satisfy your needs. We obviously now know the finalists of the Pro Kabaddi League for Season 5 after a great performance, of course, by Gujarat, who slotted into the final their first time of asking and in their debut year. They're now joined by Patna now. Sahail, of course, fresh off commentary from qualifier number 2. It was a big night, a big win for Patna in Chennai. What were your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, really good encounter. I think I'm still getting my voice back in some senses because it's just been a really, really terrific run of form from the Patna Pirates. I mean, they've done it the hard way. Look, these guys are two-time champions for a reason. They didn't top their group. They actually let slip because of their defensive efforts, and the Bengal Warriors topped the group, and that's why they had an easy run to qualifier two. But look, the Patna Pirates beat the Haryana Steelers. They beat the Puneri Paltan. And now they've beaten the Bengal Warriors en route to the final. So they certainly deserve a spot there. And we could not have asked for a better lineup. You've got the best raiding unit in Monu Goyat and Pradeep Narwal from the Patna Pirates up against the most destructive defensive unit from the Gujarat Fortune Giants.
Now, before we sort of really pick the final apart and analyse it, the qualifiers from each zone ended up being Zone A was Gujarat, Haryana, Pune. Pool B, Zone B was Bengal, Patna, UP. Went into the playoffs, and Haryana immediately, who I had down as sort of the maybe the dark horses of the whole thing, 69-30 in that first eliminator against the Patna Pirates. Why the hefty loss? What injuries? Is it the season length? What, obviously, Pardeep 34 points, but what happened?
That's what happened. Pardeep 34 points, and that was it. It was a ridiculous performance. I think he just came out and absolutely wanted it more than anyone else as a captain, as a lead raider. He stunned us. He just absolutely stunned us. And it wasn't like the previous effort from Rohit Kumar, who broke the Rishank's previous record after that and went to 30-plus points. This was a serious effort because Rohit's came against a UP Yodha squad that was playing their second-string side. But this was versus the Haryana Steelers in an eliminator match up against two of the best corners in the past, Mohit Chiller on the right corner and Surinder Nada in the left corner. So this was a staggering performance from Pradeep Narwal to take his side through. And I think that's where the momentum just started.
It made Rishank's 28 look rather pathetic. He needs to keep working for next season. Now, just looking at some of the other playoff games briefly, obviously Puneri Paltan came in to the playoffs in kind of mixed form, 3 wins, couple of losses. They saw off UP with a narrow win. The Pune defence holding nerve, but it didn't last long for Pune.
Yeah, it really didn't. I think, you know, they would have been really gutted with that because Pune, for me, looked like one of the best sides in the entire competition. And, you know, they had what it took to keep Pradeep and Patna down, but they just didn't execute plans on the night to perfection. They looked a little hasty. The right corner, Sandeep Narwal, had a really poor showing, and he had a bad run coming into that setup as well. So it's just been a tough playoff qualification from the Puneri Paltan. They were superb for most part of the season, but a couple of blips in the crunch game for Pradeep to take advantage.
Out they go. Gujarat helped themselves to a final spot, the first time of asking against Bengal. What made the difference for Gujarat, but also 25 points difference against Bengal Warriors with all those raid options that Bengal have, comes down in my book as a massive surprise.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise because also we've got to remember that Bengal are the only side that Patna had not beaten coming into that playoff, into that qualifier too. So, you know, it was quite outstanding to watch Pradeep go toe-to-toe with the defence of Bengal Warriors, which looked really toothless because Surjit, the captain, normally leads from the front. He had a poor showing and then it all just sort of fell apart from there on. So I think that's where Bengal Warriors need to go back to the drawing board and maybe just shore up their defensive options because apart from Surjit Singh there is no one really to throw anything at the top raiders in the entire competition. So that's a problem they've had because their raiding seems sorted with Maninder again picking up a Super 10, Deepak Narwal picking up a Super 10. They seem to be in good hands on that department, but they just need to find a couple of men to fill those gaping holes in defence.
We've analysed kind of the eliminators and the playoffs. Let's just briefly look back because we kind of missed the back end of the season slightly. Firstly, Sahail, what happened to your boys? And by that, I'm not allowing you to get away with Tamil Tulivas being your boys. I mean, of course, Umumba.
Yeah, it was a tough campaign actually for the champions of season two, the three-time finalists. It was a patchy one where they came back strong. They won 7 out of 9, but they just didn't quite have it. I mean, you look at the top three sides in Zone A, but Puneri Paltan, Gujarat Fortune Giants, and you've got the Haryana Steelers, and they really look out and out the top three sides in that group and deserving of a spot in the playoffs. When you look at the campaign of Umumba, I think they just didn't have defensively what it took till perhaps the, I think, 8th or 9th game. And by then it was too late. They'd lost too many on the trot. And then when the season started to shape up nicely, it was a little too late for the rest of the competition. And then they lost to Jaipur in a very dramatic encounter, a very high sort of intensity encounter. And that just then killed the entire campaign for them.
So outside of the playoffs, who in your mind was, as a team, the biggest underachievers?
Well, I think the biggest underachievers, again, the Dabangs from Delhi. I think they need to find a way that they can just perform. Because right now, it's looking like a very bleak squad. And it's going across sports. It's going across hockey. It's going across kabaddi. It's going across cricket. Football as well at times. But they need to understand the ethos of the team needs to change. They have to get more involvement from the management. I don't mean involvement in terms of who should play on the night and who shouldn't. But just to tell the players that they're there, you know, they need to give the players an understanding that they're involved, that they're interested. And I think that needs to come through from the management there.
And individually, worst player of the year outside of the playoffs?
Worst player? Oh, that's a tough one. There's a few there's a few that disappointed us. I think a few in the playoffs as well. Rajesh Narwal, I think, had a shocker of a campaign. Shrikant Teotia for the Bengal Warriors was pretty woeful. Yeah, you look at a couple of guys from the Jaipur Pink Panthers. Soumya Shekhar for me was really
great. JPP being slagged off.
Yeah, you've got to understand there's a few guys who should have, given their experience, given their abilities, should have lifted their game a lot more.
And of course, looking at some good individual performances down in Chennai, AJ Thacker. His stats actually ended up being really, really good. He ended up third, I believe, in the standings overall, nearly 50 more raids than the likes of Meninder. Picked up 14 points against Patna. His season, it started slowly with the sort of pressure of leading the Talivas, but he just went from strength to strength.
Yeah, I think he, for me, has been one of the standouts, actually, this season. You know, to come back from the way he sort of ended the World Cup in 2016 on a high, he continued that into this season, and it was quite outstanding to just watch the manner in which he went about it. He was captain of a very young side, the Tamil Talivas, who had many youngsters playing their first ever season. So this man had to shoulder the responsibility, Ajay Thacker, to actually lift the side but also lead the raiding charge, and he did so with such aplomb. He did it with real explosivity at times and was phenomenal to watch.
And there was a play a couple of weeks ago now. I've renamed Bhupinder Singh Bhupinder the Snake Singh because his 5-point wriggle fest must go down as one of the plays of the year. But we really, not just from Bhupinder Singh, but we really have seen some genuinely unbelievable athleticism and power from individual players where they just pick up hatfuls of points in one play.
Yeah, outstanding to just see someone like that turn up and produce the goods when they're under pressure. So yeah, he was superb. He was great to watch on that one raid. I think just sometimes he just lets the occasion get the better of him. So it's quite funny to see Bhupi turn up when suddenly, you know, he's got to launch himself into the mix. But when he's not got to think too much, he's superb to watch. And that was one of those moments.
Brilliant. That's how all sportsmen should be. Now, mutings about expansion or not for next season. Do you think it'll happen? Do you think it'll be a good thing?
Well, I don't think it's required and I don't think it's going to happen next season. I think 12 teams is already the largest league in the country. It was long enough. It was hard enough. It was tight fought. The teams are pretty well balanced. So I think it is at its perfect sort of saturation point at the moment, and I think it's good because the numbers have been staggeringly good right through the season, and it's held right through. Even though I think at times the cricket numbers were dropping, the kabaddi just stayed up with the same, which is a real positive given the quality of play that we've had.
Do you think players are coping with the injury level, the intensity of the league? Do you think that's something that needs to be looked at to sort of maintain the... I've noticed recently, and you said with UP, for example, they played their bench, but there has been a bigger disparity in scores between teams. Is that something to do with the injuries and the ongoing length of the season?
Well, to be honest, we didn't have too many injuries. I think the good thing about actually having an injury in this league is the fact that you've got 3 months and so you will recover and come back. So I think that's a positive, because someone like Manjeet Chhillo, Selvamani, who went out injured in the first week, wouldn't have even featured in the entire league had it been a month and a half. So I think that's the actual advantage of having a longer league, because your games are quite well spaced out, except for, of course, your home leg where you play six on the trot. But look, these are guys who are used to playing 3 games a day in the Nationals, 4 games a day sometimes, 2 games a day at least. So they are used to playing a large number of games in a short span of time. So I don't think it's troubled them too much, especially given after that 6-day run on the home leg, you've got a lot of spacing between the other games. So I think that format really works. Maybe it's worth looking at playing each side in your zone twice rather than 3 times. But obviously, when you play each other 3 times, there is a nice spice added where you've got a winner of the tie. So, that's one perhaps to think about. But look, the numbers have been good. It's been enjoyable to work on. And barring a few games where teams had already made it through to the playoffs, there was no real let off on intensity intentionally. But once the side has made it through, I think they rested a few of their top guns.
Now, just before we sort of pick the meat off the bones of the final, I know you're a huge media mogul out in India, but to be able to have written into your contract that the playoffs and the finals are in your two home cities, I think is going a bit far. Mumbai and Chennai, of course, the hosts for playoffs and then finals, respectively. Good end to the season, personally, for you.
Yeah, I've done well, haven't I? Home food is always a luxury, so I made sure that was part of the deal, clearly. But it worked out quite nicely. Yeah, home in both senses. And to be honest, Dan, I think it's two brilliant locations for Kabaddi as well. Mumbai, the city of dreams, is fantastic in terms of the stadium. The NSCI has been home to a couple of phenomenal finals already. It was home to the first ever game of Pro Kabaddi. And I think it was sort of justified in that sense that the playoffs were here. It's also a central point for a lot of the teams. But then to go to Chennai, which is a home of Kabaddi in most senses, it gave us the best crowds this season. It gave us the best crowd we've seen in seasons gone by either. So, I think it was justified to go to one of the homes of Kabaddi and celebrate their debut in some senses. But also, look, it's a very neutral crowd. So even though the Tamil Tulaivas aren't part of the final, you'll still see a big turnout. You'll still see people cheering for the neutrals. And I think that's good to see.
You mentioned the final early. Well, you mentioned with the final, it's basically attack versus defence, which no one can disagree with. Just looking through some of the statistics and sort of what will make a difference in the final, Pardeep now has over 330 points, which is obviously just an insane performance when you sort of look at everyone else. If you compare him to the top Gujarat Raider Sachin, who's currently 10th in the standings, Pardeep's first, Pardeep has double Sachin's raid points, and that is not taking into account Manu Goyet as well. Can Gujarat in any way, shape or form, I know they've got the defenders of Abizar Magani and Faisal and people like that, but can they in any way live with Patna in an attacking and an offensive way?
Well, it's quite interestingly poised, this one, because Gujarat haven't given Pradeep Narwal a Super 10 in the two encounters they faced up against each other. They have not let him off at all. So can they keep up on that intensity? I think the only trouble is that Pradeep's on an absolute scorching run at the moment. He's come into the Bengal game having scored 53 raid points in 2 games, and Bengal had only scored 54 themselves as a team. Then you add to that the 24, I think he scored, or 23 yesterday versus Bengal. So that takes you to a total of 76 from 3 games for just Pradeep Narwal. And that is just ridiculous numbers. So when he's coming in on that sort of form, it is going to be hard for the Gujarat Fortune Giants. The good thing for them is that they've devised a plan where they hit him hard through one man, Abozar Megani, on the right corner. And as soon as Abozar goes, there's 3 others who are landing on top of Pradeep Narwal. And that's worked for them. So Pradeep clearly must have analysed it as well. So I think this is where we're going to see whether Pradeep Narwal will come out with plan B and not go at Abos and Meghani, instead attack someone else. And how successful that is, we'll have to see. But momentum is clearly with the Patna Pirates. But prime form, just confidence, is with the Gujarat Fortune Giants.
And if we flip it around, Faisal and Abuzar have, Meghani have 120 tackle points between the two of them. For Patna, and this really has been their weakness, and coaches have been picking up on it left, right and centre in commenting on it in the press the Bengal coach did the other day. Patna have only Jaydeep in the top 20 defenders. So defensively, they are incredibly weak for a team that have made the final.
Yeah, I think that's been their biggest concern. But suddenly in the playoffs, they've lifted their game. Suddenly Vishal Mane is playing well. Suddenly young Vijay, the all-rounder, is coming in with some safe tackles as well. And you've got Sachin Shingade, whose timing's come back a little bit. And Jaydeep, who's been impressive. So suddenly in the playoffs, Dan, they've lifted their game. They've found a second gear in terms of the defense. Yes, it's still leaking points, but it's not as bad. And even if it's 60% of where it should be, given Pradeep Narwal and Monu Gurd's form, that might be enough. Because as we said earlier, Gujarat Fortune Giants Raiders aren't really the most special. I mean, Sachin's been great, but apart from him, there's no one really to write home about. So if their defense, Patna, can keep the Gujarat Fortune Giants Raiders down, Pradeep and Monu will score more points than the Gujarat Raiders for sure. So that's going to be the big test. If Patna's defense can work, Patna Pirates will win the contest. But it's a big, big, big question mark.
And of course, it's on neutral territory. So, you know, the crowd, there will be fans there from each team, of course. But the crowd won't be as vociferous as if it had been, say, in Patna. How will... Which coach can you see having a bigger impact on the final game?
Well, I think Manpreet has been fabulous to watch. I think Manpreet as a coach, he's been there. He's won the title with the Patna Pirates before, so he knows how to win titles in that position. But on the Patna side of things, Rambir Singh is someone who's experienced, but he's also got men who have played finals before. He's got Vishal Mane, who's won it with U Mumbai in Season 2. He's got Pradeep Narwal, who's obviously been there, done that and won it. You know, there's a few men in there who know how to play big games. And I think both these coaches have done a great job to take their sides until this point. They've been calm right through it. But in terms of the coaching, I've been more impressed with Manpreet from the Gujarat Fortune Giants. He's been excellent to watch.
Well, it is nearly time for the finals. So Sahel, it's time very much for us to actually predict which way this final is going to go. I would like to just remind you of something. About 6 weeks ago, as Patna were just coming into a little bit of form, but they hadn't really been on great form, you said, even though they have no defence, you think Patna are going to win this. Do you stand by that?
I think it's looking likely. But look, the Gujarat Fortune Giants beat them by 1 point and then beat them by 4. So they ran them really close. And given the form that Patna is in, they could go ahead and do the three-peat. It's going to be tough for them because Gujarat won't relent. And I think that's where I'm really, really confused on this one. And my predictions haven't been confused much this season, but this one is really, I'm torn because my head says Gujarat Fortune Giants because they've got the defense that has kept Pradeep down, and I think they will keep him quite quiet. But my heart is saying Patna will come out and do the three-peat. So it's a dangerous one because Pradeep, in the form that he's in, you cannot put it apart from saying, yep, he's gonna clinch it, he's going to score 15, even if he scores 12 raid points versus Gujarat Fortune Giants, he's not got a single Super 10 versus them. Even if he scores 12 raid points and gets a Super 10, Monu Gurd will support him nicely. And I think Patna will win. But if Pradeep Narwal doesn't get a Super 10, I think it's Gujarat Fortune Giants.
It'd be nice for Gujarat as well. Obviously,
it's
great for Patna to do it 3 times. But for a brand new team in their debut season to come in, make the final is a big enough achievement. But to then win it, especially with the double Iranian defence they've got, who have been around for a while and they clearly work very hard, especially Faisal. That is a really nice story for them to win. But I agree with you. I think head and heart are two totally different things. And I have to say that I think Pardeep will just come into the final and do what he does best in big games. And he does perform in big games.
Yeah, he could just come in and absolutely boss it. But look, it's going to be interesting to watch this one because you've got, as you said, those two Iranian pillars and those two young cover defenders for Gujarat who've been sensational all season long. And they do in many ways deserve it. They've been the best team out and out right through the competition. And it would be justified if they went away winners. But at the same time, now Patna have done the hard work. They've beaten three sides en route to the final. So I think, you know, it's going to be crucial that they continue that form.
So predictions are all done, Sahel. Now, obviously, if it goes to a draw here, and we haven't really seen this in the playoffs yet, but if it goes to a draw, we have to decide a winner of the Pro Kabaddi League 5. So how do they then break down extra time and on from that?
Well, this is an interesting one. This is a good in and out of Kabaddi from us, because when it is a tie at the end of regulation play, which is 40 minutes time in an eliminator, we go to 3 minutes each of two halves of 3 minutes each straight after. And we have a break in between those 2 3-minute halves. But essentially, that's where the game gets into extra time. If there's still a tie at the end of added time, at the end of those 6 minutes, then we go into what's called a golden raid. And that's quite interesting, because a lot of that hinges on the toss. Now, the team that wins the toss will most likely raid first, because it gives you a massive advantage. And when you raid first, the white balk line becomes a bonus line. So you could pick up a bonus point by crossing just that balk line. At the same time, you could get a touch. So the defense suddenly plays so high up against the midline, and you really have not long to go. If you send in your tallest raider, he could literally try and get a touch and just lie down flat on the mat and he'd cross the midline. That's how close he'd be to reaching the midline. So in the golden raid, you really are under the pump, because the entire defensive structure will form a really high line defense. But that white balk line becomes the bonus line. The defense has to play on that. It becomes really nervy, because one moment and one raid decides the entire contest.
And again, as we said a moment ago, you'd have to fancy Pardeep in that sort of situation, because it's the sort of time he shines in a high-pressure situation. Fascinating way, fascinating in and out of, and a fascinating way to potentially finish a whole league season, a three-month league season going down to, well, just a golden raid. That would be absolutely insane. Of course, don't forget, we are all over Audio Boom. We're on iTunes. We're at Twitter at In and Out Kabaddi. Sahel's Twitter handle is at Sahel Chanduk, and mine's at Dan Strange TV. Now, Sahel, you're here, there, and everywhere, but obviously the final tomorrow, you must be massively looking forward to commentating and presenting all the TV coverage of this one.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this. It's perhaps the best final we could have asked for, you know, except barring maybe Puneri Paltan versus the Gujarat Fortune Giants. I think this is the best raiding unit versus the best defensive structure. They're going to go head-to-head. They're going to lock horns for 40 minutes of absolutely mad entertainment. And I cannot wait to see this one unfold. It's going to be absolutely special. And I think the entire nation is going to be watching this.
And we'll catch up and have a chat post the final. But how many weeks are you going to sleep for after this final?
Yeah, that's the big question. That is the big question in my mind. How many weeks can I get off? Because it's been 3 months of manic day-to-day, every day in and out of Kabaddi, essentially. And yeah, let's see what I can squirm away from the guys at Star Sports to give me a little bit of a let off in steam.
Well, that's it, guys. We will speak to you after the final when we know whether it's Gujarat Fortune Giants or the Patna Pirates who have won it. But for now, it's goodbye from us.